It's hard to grasp all the suffering that Christians in Sudan have had to face year in, year out for decades. Since as long ago as 1983, Sharia law has operated in Sudan. But recently, it's become more severe. You may remember the recent case of Miriam Ibrahim, who was sentenced to death for marrying a Christian. Under Sharia law, it's apostasy for a Muslim to convert to Christianity or to marry a Christian. Since her marriage wasn't recognized under Sharia law, having sex with her husband was considered to be adultery, and she was given 100 lashes while she was pregnant and then sentenced to death. After a long struggle, she was finally released. But many Christians in Sudan still face terrible persecution. Miriam's brother, or half-brother, who wanted her killed, said, "The law has failed to maintain our rights, and now it's a matter of honor. Christians deface our honor, and we know how to take revenge for that." As the Islamic regime is trying to cleanse the region of non-Muslims, Christians are driven out of their homes. Some are killed and churches are bulldozed to the ground. Recently, a church of 600 was bulldozed to the ground. They were given a week's notice. The church was bulldozed to the ground. They're not allowed to meet in the open, so they're currently meeting in a tent. And the building of new churches is not permitted. Now, I think one of the problems is that global attention focuses intensely on cases like Miriam's and then moves on. But the problems remain for those that are left behind. You'll remember that in 2011, the mainly Christian region of South Sudan gained independence from Sudan. That's meant that the Christians remaining in Sudan are even more of a minority and are in even greater danger. Well, Christians in South Sudan are also in peril. The War of Independence, which lasted decades, destroyed South Sudan's infrastructure and their agriculture. It's left a whole generation uneducated, and uneducated young men are very open, of course, to radicalization, so there's a danger there. Since then, there's been further internal armed conflicts, adverse weather conditions, and successive crop failures and disease. They say that South Sudan is facing the worst food crisis in the world at the moment. Cholera is rife, and over 1 million people are already displaced, but they say it could get worse. The UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon predicted in May that half of South Sudan's population could either be displaced internally, refugees abroad, starving, or dead. That's half the population by the end of 2014 or early 2015. So Christians in Sudan need our prayers as they face persecution, terrible persecution. Christians in South Sudan also need our prayers. Church leaders are perhaps the only people in South Sudan who are really trusted at the moment, and they've identified the top four priorities for prayer as food, medical relief and shelter, political reconciliation to bring peace and stability, teacher training to facilitate children's education, leadership training for politicians, bishops and senior clergy, businessmen, people in the military and law enforcement, and other leaders in civil society, as this developing nation that has tried to move away from Islamification is now struggling with its own problems of becoming established. So both Sudan and South Sudan need our prayers.
Thank you, David. It's horrifying, isn't it, to hear some of the things that are going on in our world for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to affirm our faith together in the Creed. It's on page 7 of our sermon.